Save me. Well, welcome to the Situation Report for January 27th. Little Metallica Fade to Black to start things off. Played that in honor of the FEMA folks that Trump took a blowtorch to today. I fully anticipate that Trump is going to disband FEMA. And I pulled my feelers out today through a variety of sources. 10 or 15 actually, to get a message up to Trump and say, hey, if you want FEMA to be what it's supposed to be, why don't you give it to me? I'll turn it into something useful, because it is completely unuseful. And it's, I mean, you could take two views of it. View number one, burn it to the ground, which would be my normal thought. But that means the good Americans are going to have to wait longer for help. And I don't like that idea, especially for the folks in North Carolina and the folks in Maui and in California. So it would benefit those folks if somebody went into FEMA and brought them all together and said, all right, show of hands, who's in favor of DEI? You're fired. Okay, show of hands. Who hasn't worked in the office in the last 5 years? Okay, you're fired. And then I'd start smiling and dialing and bringing people in. People I know I could trust, because I know guys in the system that are in different agencies, and I bring them over and put them in charge of divisions and say, go make it work. Call everybody you know and get this thing working. Then I would go out and reach out to all of the NGOs that are in North Carolina right now. And I would say, how can we help you? How can we help you be more effective on the ground? What federal money can I get to you right now that will help you help people on the ground get housing, food, shelter, everything else? Tell me what that looks like. And I would do a summit with all the NGOs that are dedicated to natural disasters, because there's a host of them. I think there's over 200. And I would do a summit with them and say, okay, here's how we're going to operate moving forward. On day one, you'll move in, we'll move in, and we'll start planning before any natural disaster happens, you know, with the exception of the rapid forest fires and earthquakes. But hurricanes, you know when they're coming. You know when strong storms are coming. You can't tell when and where tornadoes are going to set down, but you sure can figure out when the weather is anticipating that and be ready to go. Yeah, I would definitively go in there and unfuck that place. And I would fire as many people as I had to get down to the right people and promote the right people to get things moving again. And I do it in short order. In fact, I know 15 calls I'd make tomorrow to get that moving forward. And that would be one of those, you know, running CISAs in my domain. I've been doing security work for 25 years. FEMA would be one of those areas that you could do triple duty with FEMA. One, disaster management and emergency management. Two, critical infrastructure protection. Three, continuity of government. I would go through every single site that FEMA has, and anything that wasn't relevant, gone. I would gut the place, because it needs to happen. But I would absolutely do that duty in a heartbeat, because there are lots of good people that are just as frustrated as I am with the response to both Maui and to North Carolina. And let me tell you something else I would do too. I would go through every single email and correspondence related to Maui, and I would release all of that to the public. And I would let them know exactly what FEMA did on the ground, exactly what their game plan was, and exactly how they responded to that or didn't respond to that. I would go by the numbers on that one. And I would make sure every one of those families got relief. And then I'd go to the banks and say, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to write down every single mortgage for these people who lost everything and didn't have insurance. And if you don't, I'm going to have the president nationalize your bank, and I'm going to take over. And then we'll see who does what. So the other thing that Trump is hinting at is he is going to, I don't know if he's hinted towards it. I don't know if he's actually said it yet. But there is a rumor that defunding the UN is on the table right now. I don't know how much truth there is to that, because I've heard it from like four different people now. But that would be a boon if he did it. In fact, that would be fantastic if he did that, because it would show beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is dismantling the deep state and the Rockefellers. And, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, because what he's doing right now with executive orders is all leaning towards, it's leaning towards a few things, but it dawned on me as I went through some of his executive orders that Biden didn't pardon Nancy Pelosi, and he didn't pardon Obama, and he didn't pardon Bill Gates. So that leads me to believe that he's made a deal that essentially covers him and throws them under the bus. And that would line up with what Mike Flynn was posting, as well as some of the other posts I've seen in the last couple of weeks. And I would be very, very shocked if Kash Patel doesn't get confirmed. I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of drama around it, a bunch of showmanship. But at the end of the day, I think Trump's been working the votes in the background to get it done. And no amount of insurgency is going to keep him out. And when he gets to the FBI, you're going to see him take a blowtorch to that place, as he should. I mean, if it was me, I'd walk down the hallway with a flamethrower in my hands. That place is, and I would get rid of it. Let me be very clear who I'd get rid of. Number one, I would get rid of everybody down to field office level that were complicit in everything that happened on January 6th. And then I would bring in everybody below the field office directors. And I would say, if you want to keep your jobs, then you're going to tell me exactly how many people were on the ground on January 6th. You're going to tell me who they were. You're going to tell me their affiliation. And then you're going to tell me who the Dirty Deed Squad is by name. Otherwise, you're all going to prison for treason. Take your pick. Keep your job, go to prison, and toss salad. But either way, I'm going to find out what really happened on January 6th and who was behind it. And then I would lead that all the way back to the money in Nancy Pelosi. And I would make it a very public arrest and a very public perp walk with a very public trial at Gitmo. And I would leave no stone unturned. And then the next people I'd go after is Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe, et cetera. We'll see what Kash Patel does when he comes into office. But I think the stage has been set, and I'm cautiously optimistic now. I'm still on plan that if Trump does something really, really stupid, that we call him out, like Larry Ellis. But I think Larry Ellis has usurped Elon Musk, because I heard a rumor that Musk isn't getting an office at the White House, which is very interesting. But I'd like to see where the money's going to come from for Larry Ellis and Sam Altman. Either way, those two guys, highly evil. And I think the good thing is that the social media crowd went out of their way to make sure Trump knew that they are not going to be in the inner circle and accepted by the rest of his base. And I think he was paying attention, because he hasn't said anything else about it. and there hasn't been any other press conferences, et cetera, et cetera. I know he's listening too. The next one's going to be RFK. What happens with RFK? They've already silenced him, for lack of a better word. But I don't think they're going to be able to keep a lid on that for very much longer. They've already pushed his initial VP pick. I can't think of her name. Sergey Brin's ex-wife. One of you guys in the chat will know who I'm talking about. Anyway, she's already been pushed out, and she's a reformed vaxxer. So we'll see what happens with RFK. Bill Gates paid for a bunch of quote-unquote doctors to come out and say it would be detrimental if he took office, and that was already debunked by the truth community. So good people are paying attention, folks. That's what gives me the most hope right now. And the funniest part about that is that, we'll just see how it goes. I think Musk being usurped and being pushed away from Trump is going to be a very interesting play. I don't know what precipitated that, but, you know, Vivek's gone, and it sounds like Musk didn't make it through the first week. And he's going to be the director of digital service, not Doge. So it'll be interesting to see who steps up now. But this is how it goes, right? The administration comes in, they make their picks. Some people make it, some people don't. I think Bannon made it, what, a month or two before he was kicked out? And he's not coming back. Flynn hasn't been back, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. Carrie Lake was in the inner circle until the election, and now she's going to do news. She's going back to what she was doing before, which is broadcasting. So it's very interesting to see how things are developing. I think the other thing that's interesting, too, is he took a blowtorch to Davos last week and said the Green New Scam, and that there's, you know, an executive order that says there's two sexes. So he just basically took a flamethrower to the Green New Deal, which I think is fantastic. So we're seeing some good things right now. What that translates into in the next couple of months, I don't know. But he's doing, from a geopolitical standpoint, he's doing the right things. And if he really does defund the UN after defunding the World Health Organization. And oh, by the way, the CDC came out today and said all American, basically American assets will stop working for the WHO immediately. So we're seeing some very interesting things right now. And whichever way it goes, we will see some good things in the short term. But he's living up to everything he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. Some of the stuff he's written, some of the executive orders will not make it through the Supreme Court. They'll get shot down in court, and you know they're going to be challenged. But the good thing is that he's following through with his promises, and he's not screwing around. And he is working some long, from what I understand, he's working 20 and 21 hour days because he wants to get everything moving. And that's what he needed to do, was hit the ground running, right? That's what we all wanted. Yeah, we don't need the pomp and circumstance. Just get on the ground and start doing what you're told to do. So I think we're going to see some good things. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm still going to hammer him every time I see something stupid, like that whole Greenland conversation. That was the dumbest thing in the world. It was chum for the Europeans. Yeah, it was chum for the neocons. But at the end of the day, the real fight's going to be with Mexico, and it's going to be with the cartels. And that started today, gunfire on the border with Border Patrol today. So I anticipate that will kick up. We knew it was going to happen, right? The cartels weren't just going to be like, okay, you can start deporting people. So, and I think that I think we're going to see that kick up probably as the weeks go by, we'll see more and more skirmishes. When that turns into full kinetic, I don't know. It depends on how many troops he puts on the border. But it's a very good sign he's pulling troops out of Europe right now, 20,000. So everything that Biden sent over, he's bringing back. And I'm pretty sure he's bringing back the equipment too. And the interesting thing is he didn't invite Netanyahu to the inauguration, which tells me that that situation in Gaza is going to be resolved because he's going to shut off the money supply. I don't think he's going to keep supplying arms. He did say that there was things that were committed to that weren't sent. And I think that's just him following up on what's been committed. But I don't think there's going to be any new money allocated for the Gaza situation and for Israel. And he's already told him it's not our fight. So he's answered the mail on that. And I think he's going to by proxy, because he brought down the oil prices by a call to Saudi Arabia, which I thought was fucking amazing. One phone call, oil prices dropped like 20% overnight. That's what we want. So the next question is going to be is how soon is he going to get oil production in the U.S. started again? Because I know that's on the plate. And that's really what we want, right? And the Larry Ellis thing, him trying to bring investment back, he really is trying to do that. He's really trying to bring people back. And guess what's happening right now? A lot of offshore money is coming into our banks right now. So he is following through with what he said he was going to do, which, you know, part of me is cautiously optimistic. Part of me is hopeful. And then part of me is skeptical. And the part of me that's skeptical is in the very near future, he's going to be tested probably in Ukraine. And the question is really going to be is how's he going to respond? I would hope that what he's driving towards in Ukraine is a forced settlement that forces Europe and the neocons in Europe and the neocons here to sue for peace. Because he knows there's no longevity there and there's no win. His win's going to be economic with the tariffs. I don't know how much I believe that they're going to abolish the IRS. I would love to see that in our lifetime. I would love to see all the IRS courts, all the IRS agents, all the IRS, you know, people that have been hanging on, all of them having to look for work. And I think that, you know, if he's able to do that, which I think he may, then we'll see some interesting things out of that. If he moves back to tariffs, which I think is a good idea, but that, let me caution everybody, that doesn't stop the states from taxation, property taxes, et cetera. That's why the Musket Party and all of us getting involved is so important. Because once we have a functioning Justice Department, DOJ, then we'll have a backstop if, number one, the states do something like Washington State is doing. They're just full retard right now. They're literally in the process right now of, number one, trying to make liability insurance for gun owners mandatory. They're lightening the sentencing. They're lightening the offense sentencing for first-time offenders of violent crimes. In Washington State, they're doing it right now. They're passing bills to do that right now. So, yeah, it'll be questioned and challenged in court. But Trump needs to go through and fire every district attorney, federal district attorney, or federal prosecutor that Biden put in place. And anybody that's liberal, he needs to fire him. And then he needs to get rid of every fucking federal judge in every district that was replaced during the Biden administration, even before, that was put in place by Obama. And then he needs to put people in place that really understand the term unbiased and rule of law. And then we'll see how many of these state attorney generals are able to function because the thing that they've had in their pocket is they know the courts are compromised. So we'll see exactly how this goes once he starts making those moves. And I know he's making those moves. He's thought through this, just like he's thought through exactly what to do at the border. And I'm pretty sure he's called guys like Eric Prince and some of the others and said, hey, what do we need to do to get this under control? So it's definitely some interesting times we live in, folks. That's for sure. And it's good to see finally starting to see some real action. And I hope for our sake that this thing with the cartels doesn't blow into a full-scale shooting war before we're able to really solidify a defensive posture down there. Because this isn't going to be any kind of a static war where there's a forward edge of the battle area. There is clearly, you know, lines of demarcation, et cetera, that dog ain't going to hunt. This is going to be asymmetric because the cartels run from Mexico all the way up to the Canadian border across this country. And they have places all over the place. So stay tuned on that one. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how this develops. But I think that they've got a plan, which sure looks like, because they're hitting the ground and executing like they have a plan, which I think is fantastic. The other thing that I wanted to talk through, which is interesting, is there's a TB outbreak that's legitimate. And Michael Yon talked about this months ago on the show, that diseases we haven't seen before are coming in because all of these folks coming in are unvaccinated. Go figure. So we're seeing things starting to escalate there. And I think that one is actually legitimate because there's no vaccine for that, at least not that I know of. So we're seeing that. We're going to see probably some other things we haven't seen in this country for a while, which, you know, doesn't surprise me. But we're seeing some of that. And by Trump pulling out of the World Health Organization, it takes the wind out of them trying to push another scamdemic. And I thought it was brilliant that he pulled security clearances, and so did Radcliffe pulled security clearances for all the people that wrote the quote-unquote letters during Trump's first term. And they pulled security for not just Fauci and for Pompeo. He pulled security for a lot of other people too. So if these people feel exposed right now, just wait until they start doing the disclosures around COVID. And I think that's what he's setting up for. I think some of that's going to come out too. So in all, we're seeing a lot of good things happening right now. And I would hope that that continues. I would hope that we see on a regular basis another action to take away a lot of the deep state legacy players like John Bolton and some of the others, because these guys have been around for 40 years, all those guys. And by him, the other thing is, by him taking away security clearances, he's essentially taking those guys off the board. They can't go into a secure area and see what's going on. And they could probably have somebody give them, on the inside, give them information. But guess what? They do that now to somebody who doesn't have a security clearance. That's treason. And that's a felony offense. And now they can go after all of the John Bolton 2, John Brennan 2, and 3, and 4. And go after all of them. So to me, Trump's doing the right thing finally. He should have done it in his first term, but he didn't know what he didn't know. And now he knows what he doesn't know. And he is going after these guys wholesale. And there's definitively an axe to grind. I see that as clear as day. He is, he's got an axe to grind. Now, is he controlled? Jerry's still out on that one. But I think we could make the case if he brings the Gaza thing to close, and he brings the situation in Lebanon and Syria to a close, where the Israelis have to retreat, you know, pull back out of there. I think you're going to see Netanyahu rolled up and removed from power, and then you'll really know he's not controlled by Israel. But we'll see. I mean, this could all be a ruse. I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic right now, and I'll tell you, it's damn hard at times. But so far, he's doing the right thing. I know the stuff he's going to get challenged in court with. I'm not really concerned about that, because it is what it is. So as this develops, as things start to get more and more interesting, I think we're going to see probably another attempt on his life. So I would hope that he's got very, very good security, because they're not going to just let this go. But the good thing with, and by the way, I've had a lot of discussions today about interest rates and where people see interest rates going. And there's a good portion of the real estate market that thinks rates are going to be terrible for the foreseeable future. There's a portion of the industry that thinks the rates are going to be dropped again at the end of the month to stimulate, you know, homes, home purchasing, home building, et cetera. They're still building homes. It's just not at the rate that it was before. And if Trump's smart, he will go after the banks to liquidate some of the inventory they have, and up the market and lower prices a bit. We'll see what he does. It's going to be interesting, but it doesn't look good for rates for the next couple of months at least. Supposedly Jerome Powell is going to drop the rate at the end of the month, but we'll see if that actually translates into lower rates for homes and for it won't do anything for rent, but for mortgages it may. But I don't think you'll see it right away, because when they dropped the interest rate by 50 basis points, it didn't do the interest rates didn't change at all. So we'll see which way this goes, but don't get your hopes up on the housing market for another month or two. Probably April, May is when things will open up. And hopefully by the time it does, we'll see some changes, not just in the banking system, but we'll see some changes in the housing market. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody can afford $1 million home. And, you know, taxes on top of that, with the cost of living being as expensive as it is. So more to follow on that. And last thing that I want to talk through too is that there was a very, very interesting article, trying to find it, about generative AI. And trying to find it here. Essentially, if I can find it, I'll post it. Essentially, what I was reading was that generative AI still has a long way to go. But from a code perspective, it's able to generate code and generate applications pretty much on the fly, which is interesting, because that changes the dynamic. I don't know if you haven't been around the development world, how things, the best way to say it is, when you develop something, you have a whole team of people that build specific parts, and you do what's called a sprint. So you do a week long or a 2 week long development cycle on specific features, and you build what's called a war file. That's your basically your source code, and you build and add features to it on an ongoing basis. And it's essentially rapid development on steroids. And the Scrum process, which is what it's called, is highly effective if you have a good qualified team. If AI can generate that and do that without human intervention, that's a huge forward. So that'll be a very, very significant shift if that's true. And I wouldn't say the Chinese are ahead. I've worked with a lot of Chinese AI in the last 2 years. I could tell you a lot of it's vaporware. Some of it's good, but I wouldn't believe everything that you read about it. And I know some of the companies are doing it. And remember, the party has to approve of you building that and sharing that. So I'm sure the best AI they have is being used internally for a variety of purposes, probably to include hacking, et cetera. So I think that there's the danger with AI, as I've said before, is that there's no guardrails and there's no moral boundaries put around it. And, you know, when you're going talking about overseas or different countries, it's a whole different ball of wax. But we need to put boundaries around it. It's a very, very strong boundaries around it. Because my greatest fear with that is, let's just say it gets smart enough to be smart and it's got very, very bad. Because you have to teach AI. You build it and then you teach it. You build a big data lake around it and you let it go and absorb the data lake and figure out all the different parameters around it, all the relationships, all of the trends, et cetera. It takes time to do that. But once it's trained, even if it's an algorithm, just like ChatGPT, just like Grok, it can be very, very efficient and very, very effective. If you don't have any guardrails around that, especially from a moral perspective, that could be a very, very dangerous AI that could do a significant amount of damage to humanity before anybody is able to figure out what's going on. Because remember, it moves twice as fast as the rest of us, and it's twice as plugged in. And it doesn't need a break. So it could be very, very dangerous very, very quickly. And it would take us a very long time to figure it out. And more importantly, to figure out how to stop it. Especially if AI has control of production, distribution, and all the other things that they're talking about. That would be a very, very dangerous proposition. Just on the outset, that would be a very dangerous proposition. Because you're talking about AI that would be completely open to do and learn whatever without any guardrails around it. That's why the moral aspect of this has to be explored. And there's been zero discussions. And the fact that Sam Altman had a whistleblower that was quote unquote suicided, you know, two rounds to the back of the head, which is, it's just, yeah, it's believable. It could happen. The point is, they're obviously hiding something, and it's not just about power and control. And if I was a betting man, I would say it would have something to do with the moral side of this argument. What's the moral argument here that is not being discussed? And we, as we found from Google, Google's attempt at AI was woke and stupid. But imagine woke, stupid without a moral compass. That's even more dangerous. And trained to hate humans, trained to hate a specific demographic, trained to hate a certain race or culture. Think about that for a second. It's like the application for TikTok, Red something. I can't think about the top of my head. Drawing a blank here. Nobody thought past going getting off of TikTok. Nobody thought past, you know, what are the second order and third order effects of doing that? There was just no thought process around it. They just jumped. And I don't know if you know anything about TikTok, but I've been saying this on just about every show I've ever done. TikTok records every keystroke you make on your device and sends it back to China and phones home. And just like Apple AI, it records everything on your screen. So even if you're using, you know, quote unquote, point to point encrypted app. There's no such thing as encrypted. If it's encryption, if it's recording your screen and sending a phoning home. And that piece of it, most people don't even think through. Well, if I'm typing some, you know, bank accounts or whatever, then they can have my bank account number. Most people think that way. Well, I'm not doing anything illegal. Well, I'm not saying anything illegal. That's not the point. The point of it is that they have complete and utter visibility into your life patterns, your patterns of behavior, all of your affiliations, all of your friends, all of your links, both direct and indirect. They have all of that. And they'll scrape it from your screen. So they don't need to break your encryption. They just scrape your screen and send it to a data center. Now imagine that data center is AI that's building all of those bipartite maps all, you know, real time as you're doing stuff. It's a smorgasbord for the intelligence agencies. And if they want to shut you off and the AI deems you a threat, you know, pre-crime, guess what? They turn you off. That to me is the most insidious part of that. And that's just the tame stuff. That's not the other stuff. That is the, you know, we're going to shut you off in the social scoring system side of that. It's not, we're going to shut you off from humanity through shutting you down. Literally shutting you down. An AI could, AI that's completely uncontrolled and unmonitored with access to a lot of different resources, like logistics, law enforcement, et cetera. Guess what? You don't self-eliminate, they eliminate you. That is a very, very significant danger. And most people don't think through the second or third order effects. That's a second or third order effect that you should be paying attention to. That's why the moral side of this conversation about AI is so important, because no one's talking about it. What are the moral obligations to society that have to be pre-programmed into that? Like, don't harm humans. Don't obfuscate information. Don't redirect information. Don't censor people. Don't shut people down. There's a number of things morally that have to be baked into AI, you know, like the prime directives, right? Nobody's even talking about that. Just like nobody's talking about, okay, you've allowed TikTok to stay. Where's it going to live? Is it going to live in NSA? Is it going to live in a public data center somewhere controlled by a public company? You notice how Trump says, I just had to accept it. Okay. Define accept. Define where it's going to live. Define what the US side of that's going to look like. You notice how none of that was published? That is a very, very real and present danger. Because if they move TikTok into the NSA data center, the huge one up there in Utah, then guess what? They've just set up part of the apparatus to monitor anybody who's on TikTok. And oh, by the way, this week there was orders issued. I'm pretty sure it was the first day that Hegseth took office that there would be no social media posts about troop movements, troop locations, or any capability. The OPSEC was pushed down to the troops on the day he took office. So there you go. So they know it's a real threat. But more importantly, we need to find out the other side of that equation. Now that Trump brought it back, what does that really look like? And oh, by the way, who's controlling that? Nobody's asked that question. The press hasn't asked that question. I don't think anybody in social media has asked that question. And that should be a very, very pertinent question right now. What does the U.S. side of this look like? Because again, can't take anything for granted. But the AI piece of this is very, very dangerous for a lot of reasons. And that could go sideways very quickly. And potentially will go sideways very quickly. So keep your eyes open, folks, because I think there's going to be a lot of questions that are unanswered that we're going to have to pay attention to. And I don't think, again, with the flurry of the activity, and again, that's the thing, right? the pace of things coming at us, the pace of things that we're seeing, is designed to keep us distracted. And they've been highly effective at it. You just need to stay vigilant now and keep asking those questions and figure out what the answers are. Because if that stuff is going into a data center that NSA owns, I'd be really curious to see. By the way, I don't know who the new NSA director is. I don't think he's announced that yet. So I'm curious to see who the next Jerns is going to be. That'll be a very interesting conversation too. That said, stay vigilant, folks, because it's coming fast and furious, and we can't let things fall through the cracks. And most importantly, keep your eye on what the situation on the border is, because I think that's going to get very, very interesting very quickly. Maybe here Wednesday. I'm not sure about Wednesday. Thursday, we'll do the round table, and I'll be back then. And an hour goes by quick, doesn't it? Until then, keep your head on a swivel. Be prepared for anything. And by all means, live your life. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.